This message entitled A Christmas Kiss, the Talk of the Town was delivered to Christ Our Rock Bible Church on Christmas Day, December 25th, 2022 by the Reverend Roy D. Warren Jr. The scripture reference was Luke 2 beginning in verse 8.
Amen. Welcome to Christmas morning. Amen. I was teasing somebody last night that we ought to just stay at the church. Last night, you know, I mean... Huh? Yeah. Well, I had to would have to bring mine too, and that wouldn't work out real well. Okay. Well, anyway, I wanted to start with this poem. As you know, we've been dealing with some of the poems in this book called Emmanuel, Poems and Meditations on the Life of Jesus, and it's got a few that have to do with Christmas, and I've been using them even if they don't have to do with Christmas, but this one does. This one is called Listen to the Shepherds. Now, I want to warn you, I shouldn't probably use the word warn, but I think you should be aware that this isn't just scripture. This is a story that's being told about the shepherds and how it all came about for them to see the angels and have the angels speak to them and so forth. I'm only going to share half of it at the beginning of the service here today. Let's see. Let's make sure where I'm going to stop. Okay, yeah, right there. Better put a mark. Okay, well, and then the other half I want to share by way of benediction at the end of the service. Okay? So it'll pull the whole thing together. It's all the part of the same story. But there's going to be detail and so forth in here that isn't out of the Bible. It's a story that's being told of these shepherds and their encounter with the angel. So just keep that in mind. All right, praise God. It's called Listen to the Shepherds. We spend our nights with the eternal silences, the deep dome of heaven lit with all the multitude of stars. Did we ever consider that God Almighty had looked at that same sky with Abraham, our father? That the upward look into the infinite was as close as you could get towards seeing the extent of God's promise? Who among us has ever counted all the stars? The vast depth of heaven did not oppress us as it might some proud soul threatened by forces and light and joy beyond his control. We considered the heavens and felt quite small, but it was a comfort because we knew we were small and that our God was greater than all the greatness stretched above us. We had our place, and it was a low one, and we accepted it. Yes, David was a shepherd, so was Abraham, so was Isaac, so was Jacob. But now our calling, Bible known and Bible honored, was no longer honored by those who taught in the synagogue and in the temple, because we hardly ever came to hear them. We couldn't. We were out in the fields, night and day. We could not keep the Sabbath as closely as those who dwelt in town and village, who honored the shepherds of the Bible, but despised us as men on the margins of God's salvation. We had heard the story from the scriptures, told around the campfire of David, little regarded by his brothers, relegated to keeping sheep, away from the important happenings of the family and the town, yet he was called and compelled to come to the feast by the prophet Samuel, who refused to sit down and eat before he came. No one would wait for us, none troubled that we were not at the table. No matter, these fields were David's fields. These glens and pastures were grazed by David's sheep. This night sky was David's sky 1,000 years ago. These hills had heard the sweet singer of Israel as much or more than the walls of Bethlehem town had. Only once were we called to come to Bethlehem. Only once did we leave our flocks like David did to respond to the divine summons. Only once. When the angel of the Lord stepped out of David's sky and stood shining in the night, and confided to us news of great goodness, which would be not limited to a certain caste or a certain race, but would be for all people. We trembled and we quaked as we stood before the angel, but he comforted us and said, "Fear not." Those words, they still live within us like the walls of a strong fortress. We heard with our own ears the glad tidings that a Savior had just been born in Bethlehem, that the Lord Messiah had come at last. The angel gave us a sign to look for, a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. As wonder upon wonder from on high tumbled down upon our hearts with this great news, the meaning of it all hardly beginning to sink in, suddenly great companies of the forces of heaven stood with the angel, like the sound of many waters. Armies of angels sang in perfect unison in our dialect, with such joy and triumph, such worship and fierce love to God, that their unforgettable song shall always ring in our hearts. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to all people. The angel did not command us to go and see the child, but the news was irresistible. Otherwise, why would he have given us the sign? He knew we would go and seek for him. When the angels were gone, we talked it over. Surely the Lord had called us to go and see, so we went. And we looked where we thought he might be. The sign implied that it wouldn't be in a normal house. So we checked the stables that we knew of. Checking stables was actually easier than knocking on doors in the middle of the night. As shepherds, we had all looked for stray sheep, but that was out in the wild. This was in town. As we drew near, we had the sense that things were not what they seemed to be, that somehow they were reversed, that we were the ones who were lost, that in seeking the child, we were looking for our shepherd. When we saw him lying in the manger, it was as if we had been found. Wondering, Joseph and Mary received us into the stable. It was set into a hill with a cave at the back. It was filled with the usual inhabitants. There was a cow, a donkey, a milking goat, a couple of sheep, and a few doves and pigeons in the rafters. There, on one side, in a place swept and strewn with new straw, was the young mother, lying down on a pallet, exhausted from childbirth and a long, long journey, and her husband standing by the child in the manger. We told them of the glad tidings of the angel. We begged forgiveness for the intrusion, but felt that we had been summoned to come and see. The couple kind of gave us a knowing look, and Joseph smiled and said yes. He reckoned we had been indeed called to come. The awkwardness gave way to worship as we knelt before our newborn king. Our shepherd had come to claim us. I'll finish the poem at the close of the service. Amen? You'll see why. Praise the Lord. All right, praise the Lord. Would you join me in prayer? Father, I want to thank you, dear God, for this Christmas morning. Help us, dear God, to put our focus upon you. Lots of other things we could think about, Lord, lots of other things. We could think of the trees, we could think of the presents, we could think of the dinners, perhaps. We could think of treats that may have been found in stockings and so forth and so on, or maybe yet to be found. And we know, dear God, that you are in control. You called us to this time and place. You have a reason and a purpose for us to hear about Jesus today. Hallelujah. I don't know that I can think of a better day to hear about Jesus. than on Christmas Day itself. It only comes around every, 7 years or so to have it on a Sunday, but I am thankful for it. We kidded a little bit earlier, dear God. We could have just stayed here last night at our Christmas Eve service and got a few hours sleep, and then we would be ready to go this morning. Because it felt different. It did feel different, because normally we meet on Friday night for Bible study, and then we have Saturday to rest and relax and get focused on the next day, on Sunday. And we didn't have that break. Hallelujah. But Mary and Joseph had a break. Praise God. They had a journey. And we saw this, Lord, last night as they went from and to and to and to and all the way through the story. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I want to thank you, dear God, that it's so clear what you have in mind when you stress those kinds of things, those simple things like that. And we just look for you, dear God, to have all the glory, to be exalted and lifted high. We want to thank you for this Christmas morning, for this Christmas day. We want to thank you, dear God, for this Christmas time. Hallelujah. And I pray, dear God, that you'll truly keep our focus upon Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, the Lord of Christmas, the Lord of all. We thank you. We praise you. We need you in this hour and in this day. We need you. Hallelujah. I do pray, dear God, for all that might not be well. I know Andrew was sick the other day and probably continues with that today. But we do pray, dear God, that you put a healing touch upon him. Hallelujah. And I pray for Lily, too, Lord. I pray also, dear God, that you'll be upon Chris as she's away visiting family. And I pray, dear God, that you'll have the have our focus, dear God, on the one that Christmas was really all about to begin with. Hallelujah. Namely, Jesus, the Savior, who was born in Bethlehem all those years ago. We thank you. We praise you. We love you. And we truly desire, dear God, that you will be known by each and every one of us. Hallelujah. And I do pray, dear God, that you would touch us each and every one for your glory. For your glory. It's not so that we'd be praised and we'd be glorified and people will go, oh, look at that person. Look at that person. No. No, it's all for the glory of God. Hallelujah. That's what this day is all about. And I thank you for it, dear God. Hallelujah. We pray this all, dear God, in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.
Matthew 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Lord, I pray that we would be like the wise men, and we would seek diligently, that we wouldn't send other people to look for us, that we would look for your face and look in these scriptures for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Hey, Ben, I got a question for you. Which of all these people here are the wise men? Come around and show us.
Which ones are the wise men?
That one.
Okay. Suppose he's got the gold, since it's kind of a golden colored box.
That one.
Yeah.
That one, yeah. That might be the myrrh, I suppose. And anybody else?
And that one.
And that one. They're all three carrying gifts, you see? And when we come to Jesus, we need to bear him gifts. And you know what the gift is? An open heart.
Yes.
A heart that wants to receive him fully. And thereby give him a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? Yeah. There's all three wise. Now, the Bible never says there were three wise men. There could have been 100 for all we know. But we know there were three gifts.
Right.
Three different gifts. So, I didn't bother making 100 stained glass wise men. All right? So, we have three. All right? Plus the shepherds and everybody else. Okay. Thank you, guys.
A Christmas kiss. The talk of the town. Praise the Lord. So, if you're there, we're going to be in Luke 2, okay, and follow this through with the shepherds. Here we go. Now, I'm going to go through this in the midst of the message, so let's just have our place there, and we'll come into this story, basically, of the Christmas kiss and the talk of the town. Amen. Last night, well, let me go ahead and pray first, and then we'll get into it. Father, I want to thank you, dear God, for your mercy here today. We know, dear God, that you have a reason and a purpose behind every word that we are bringing forth unto each other, but also unto you. We desire, dear God, that you'll be seen, and it'll be full and real and mighty. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen. Amen. Last night was Christmas Eve. And I took you through, first of all, the first six verses, showed you all the places where the word "and" is located. And there's quite a few of them. That's a conjunction. That's a regular conjunction. It joins this to this. Okay? Quite a few "ands" just in that part of the scripture alone. And this is as Mary and Joseph had experienced it. They were on a journey. We talked about this last night. And they went one step in front of the other, and they made their way from Nazareth down to Bethlehem. Okay? And then it turns out, and I'll share what we talked about last night. Verse 7, "And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." And we talked of that last night. If you want to hear that again, by the way, these things are recorded and will be online. All right? So we want to pick it up at verse 8. Okay? Now, I want to go kind of quickly through it because I want to focus mostly at the end of the story. Okay? And we're all familiar with the story, I think. But we're still going to go through it. And, verse 8, "and they were in the same country." Like I said, there was something going on from the moment that baby was born. There's something else going on. But it's not in town. And it's not in the stable, at the manger, if there was a stable. Okay? And it's out in the field. That's right. Something was going on. "And there were in the same country," it says in verse 8, "shepherds abiding in the field, and they were keeping watch over their flock by night." The word "watch" has to do with keeping guard. Keeping guard. Like even as a cage will keep people in, even if you think of the bars, you might think of not just a cage, but you might think of a prison and the bars of a prison. That's what "watch" refers to. Okay? I mean, from the Greek now. I'm not making it up. From the Greek. And, verse 9, lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Now, I said this a couple of days ago, or a few days ago, when we saw the angel of the Lord showing up again, that, you know, how in the world does God do that? Okay? This is the Spirit of Christ. When it appears at times before Jesus was born, we call it the pre-incarnate vision of Christ. Many different places. One in particular I happen to think of is back in the days of crossing the Jordan River and going to Jericho. And Joshua went ahead and was, you know, when he was going to take Jericho. He's going to take Jericho, okay? But somebody appears to him. Somebody else. Not one of his own people there, but somebody else. And I believe it's another one of those pre-incarnate renditions or appearances of the Christ before he filled Jesus. And we're talking about the Christ, that we're talking about the second person of the Godhood. We're talking about Jesus Christ, okay? Christ is God in Jesus, okay? Jesus Christ. Christ is not his last name, right? We all know that. Well, anyway, but before Jesus was born, he shows up in other ways and in other places. And I think this is one of them, where he comes and he speaks with Joshua and tells him about what's going on here. Okay? And there are several other places where this happens. And it specifically mentions not just an angel of the Lord, but it says the angel of the Lord. And in this case, it does it too. Now, how does God do that? All I know, and I don't know exactly how he does this, but he's God. And if he wants to do it this way, he can do it this way. Amen? And he's in charge. And all things are possible with our God. Amen? That's what he told Mary. I mean, come on, if anybody needed to know that God was in charge of the impossible, it would be Mary. Because how am I going to have this baby? I don't know a man. I've not been intimate with anybody. How are you going to do it, God? She is not saying he's not. And she is not arguing with him. She is simply saying, how are you going to do this? It's more than curiosity. It's a desire to know how God is going to move. Okay? She's not doubting that he's going to move. She's not doubting that he's going to do what he's saying he's going to do. She's not doubting that at all. Amen? Praise God. And that's why the angel said, all things are possible with God. You don't have to doubt for a minute. All right? But how does he do this now that there's, you know, the Spirit is in Jesus, in this, baby that was just born, and now the angel of the Lord comes upon them. This is before the whole crowd shows up. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. I guess I just know that if God wants him to come and appear as an angel, he can do it at the same time he's in that little baby. Because we are told that Jesus was Lord at his birth. He's got the Christ in him already. Praise God. How does he then appear as this angel, okay, of the Lord? I don't know. I just know it says he does. Amen? Now, I suppose if he can do anything and there's nothing impossible for him, this isn't a big deal. Okay? God knows what he's doing. All right? So the glory of the Lord shone round about them. Remember now, this is just that angel. And the glory of the Lord is shining. It's not all the other angels gathered. They're not there yet. It's just him. And it's the glory of the Lord that's shining all around the shepherds. And they were pretty afraid because it was a dark night. And now it's a lot lighter. A lot lighter. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, I bring you good tidings." Don't fear. "For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." There you got it. You got the whole thing laid out for you. There's the what, there's the when, there's the where, there's the who, there's the why. You know, what? Five things every newspaper man has to know about and has to write his story about. What is it? When did it take place? Where did it take place? Who was involved in it? And why? And here comes Jesus, and the angel does the same thing. What was happening? There was a birth taking place right there at a manger. This day, that's the when, okay, in the city of David, that's the where, a Savior, that's the who, which is Christ the Lord. Even at birth, Jesus is the Christ, the second person of the Trinity. And that's the why. Who, when, where? No. What, when, where, who, and why? All right there in one verse. Verse 12. And there you go again. One step in front of the other. This is a journey. These shepherds are on a journey, even though they're right in that field, right in that place. They're on a journey because they've got the angel showing up to show them what's going on. And there's going to be a sign for you, okay? There's going to be a sign. It's going to be a mark. It's going to be an indication. There's a sign, okay? And what you're going to do is you're going to find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, okay? And lying in a manger, a feeding trough, okay? A place where animals come to eat, a crib for fodder. I think that's interesting because, you know, it's one of the Christmas carols says, you know, no crib. And yet, that's kind of what a different kind of crib. What it's saying is there's no human crib. So there's a crib for the animal's fodder, for the animal's food, and that's where he's going to be laid. He becomes the bread of life. Glory be to God. Amen? And then it says, and suddenly, and here it comes now, here it comes, people, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, God's opinion of his changeless mind. That's the glory of God. God's opinion of his changeless mind. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. It's the apprehension of God. Verse 15, and it came to pass as the angels were gone away. So it didn't last forever. But imagine what it was like when it was there. imagine what this was like. Because first of all, there's the angel of the Lord, and he's already freaking them out. He's already got them scared. That's why he says, "Fear not." What's the one thing an angel just about always says when it appears to other people? Fear not. Why? Because they were fearsome things. You know, we see cherubs, and they fly around, little fat babies. You know, and they got the bow and arrow, and they're shooting people and, you know, getting people to fall in love with each other. And it's about as crazy as the mistletoe, I suppose. it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven. It says, the shepherds said one unto another. They discussed it. They said, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass. They are so sure of this thing, it's not future anymore. This is, okay, which is come to pass. It's already happened. The baby is there. which the Lord hath made known unto us. Okay? And they came with haste, urgently, diligently, with zeal. That's what haste means. Okay? And, watch this. There are four ands in this one two-line verse. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now, that doesn't mean all three were lying in the manger. It means the baby was in the manger and Mary and Joseph were there too. Around the manger. Okay, now watch. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. All right? To know by distinguishing, to tell out, to proclaim. They went around and told people. Okay? They went around and told probably basically the whole town. So the whole town was a buzz. He was the talk of the town. What is this thing? I mean, they themselves said, what is this thing? We need to come and see this thing, which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Amen? Verse 18. And, once again, look at all the ands. Do you believe how many ands there are here? It's because it's a journey. And God is calling us on the same journey to get from Nazareth to Bethlehem, to let Jesus be born in us, but also through us, because we need to share Jesus with others. These shepherds are doing it, and they're showing us how to do it. Okay? And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. The opposite of this wondering is to despise and to mock. They were not mocking what had happened. They were not despising it in the least. Okay? Wondered is the Greek word thumazo. Okay? Thumazo. And it means to marvel and to be struck with admiration and to the point where you recognize that he deserves it. He deserves your coming around and making a big deal out of him. Okay? That's a rather abrupt way to put it, but that's just about what it amounts to. Amen? They wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. That's the people all through the town, the people in the inn. They didn't see all this happening. They weren't out there at the manger. The people down the road, the other houses that had people in it, they went everywhere and told everybody about this baby being born. And the people wondered. Now, I got to tell you, and I've said this before, but I'll say it again. We've got to recognize that we've got to come beyond wondering. Okay? They that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. I don't know how many of them came out of their places of comfort and looked for him too, or went to where he was. Was there a whole crowd around when the shepherds got to the manger? Or did the crowd come after the shepherds? That would make more sense. Because they've heard from the shepherds who this is, so they go out and check them out. We don't know. We don't know. I would like to suggest to you, and it's more than a suggestion, we've got to come beyond wondering. Because wondering just means to marvel. Do you believe this? Wow. And then go about your business. You've got to go beyond marveling about something. You've got to go beyond being struck even with admiration. You've got to actually go beyond the recognition in your own mind and in your own heart that he deserves it. Okay? But if you don't get up, all right, leave your comfort zone and go seek Jesus, amen, you're not going all the way. They wondered at those things which were told. So we don't know what they did. We hope, of course, they went and found them and so forth, but it doesn't say. Okay? We see and all the way through the first seven verses, and now all the way through verses 8 through 18, And there's one verse that's got four ands in it. And. Put one foot in front of the other. It's a journey. And we're all called to that journey. To come from Nazareth, which is not known for anything good coming from it. Okay? And go down all the way to Bethlehem, which is known for the Messiah. All right? Religious leaders, they didn't get it. Because they didn't pay attention. They didn't really believe what had been said all along. You know? So when they hear that there's a prophet and he's Jesus of Nazareth, they say, no, that can't be true. Because where in the Bible does it say a prophet is going to come out of Nazareth? Well, right here. Okay? But he was born. He lived in Nazareth, and he came out of Nazareth to do his ministry, but he was born in Bethlehem, which is exactly where he was supposed to be born, and he was. And. It's a journey, and every one of us is called into this hike, this walk, okay? And then comes verse 19. All the ands, well, not all the ands, and is still a good word. I'm not saying it was ever a bad word, okay? But verse 19 starts with but. That's the contrastive conjunction. It's not a regular conjunction. It contrasts things. It says consider this, but also consider this. So all this stuff happened and all this great stuff, and they found Jesus, and praise God. And verse 19 says, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. The good news given by the Spirit of Jesus himself, the angel of the Lord, had time, and it did, had time through these shepherds to go all over the place that night, to go from house to house, I don't know, up and down the alleys and byways and every probably went everywhere, probably all through Bethlehem, okay? It was a small town, but still a town, and a number of people and a number of houses and so forth. So they made their way all over the place, and they would, and what they had to say would become the talk of the town. It would be, did you hear that? Did you hear? Did they come to your door? They came to mine. And then I wonder maybe if they start asking questions of each other. Did you go try and find them? You didn't? You know, I didn't either. I probably should have. Turn off the TV and get moving. You know? I probably should have. Who is this child? The one Christmas Carol asks. Who is this child? He's the Savior. He's Christ the Lord. Something else needed to happen. Besides all these angels showing up for these shepherds, something else needed to happen. And it did happen. You know, but there's all this, and that's all fine and good. And praise God for it. All right? We're all supposed to be on that journey, okay? But we also need to be on this journey, the one that starts with but. Okay? Something else needed to happen at the same time that baby was born. It turns out that Mary, we are told, would keep all these things. She'd keep them. The word keep in the Greek, and I mentioned this earlier, means because it showed up earlier, okay? Keeping watch over their flock by night. Keeping with the idea of isolation, to be on guard, to preserve, to obey, and to avoid anything else. See what I mean? There's truth, of course, to be said, but there's also false to be stayed away from. Amen? All right. Okay? So it means to guard. It means to preserve. It means to keep safe. This is what Mary did. That's what Mary did. Joseph too, I would imagine, okay? But we're told about Mary. to keep it safe. Yes, even to be very careful about, very careful, it stresses that. The opposite, by the way, of this word for keeping means to give up on it. Oh, well, it's dark out. Oh, well, it's cold out. Oh, well, it's, I don't want to go out. I'd rather stay nice and cozy here. Got my TV on and so forth. Okay? That's what the opposite of keeping is. To give up on it, to give it away carelessly, to let it be abolished. Remember when Jesus talked about, you know, not throwing the pearls before the swine, you know, and you know, don't just let it, you know, let people be pigs and so forth, and have a pig heart and so forth. I'm not talking about people that have pig valves in their heart. That's a necessity for the condition that they had. I'm not talking about that, okay? But this, you know, Jesus made it clear. Don't be rambunctious about this thing. Don't just throw it every which way. It's not supposed to be trampled underfoot, okay? But rather, it's to be seen as precious. Now, that still means you go all over Bethlehem and you tell everybody about it. Okay, that still means, but that also calls people to see it as precious and perhaps go see it for themselves, but we're not told anybody did. That doesn't mean that nobody did. We don't know. It just doesn't say. Amen? Okay. Now, not only would she keep it, but the Bible suggests here, more than suggests, it says so outwardly and forthrightly that she pondered it in her heart. Now watch, in the Greek, the word is sunbalo. Sunbalo. It's two separate words put together. Sun means together. The word sun, S-U-N, means together. Balo means to cast. And you can remember that because what do you do with a ball? You throw it to the other person, right? You cast the ball away from yourself so somebody else can catch it, okay? That's not where it comes from, but I mean, that's what the Greek is. That's what it's talking. Sun balo means to cast. In other words, to cast something together. Put it together. If it takes pieces to put it together, if it takes chunks to put it together, it's like a snowball, people. You know, I know it's too cold to go out and have fun with this stuff, but and it's probably too cold to actually make snowballs. I don't know. But anyway, that's what you do. You grab some snow and you grab some snow and you put it together. Sun balo. Okay? To consider, to confer, to think about it, to dwell on it. She wouldn't treat it lightly. She wouldn't treat it frivolously. She took it seriously. Okay? She put the ball together like a snowball, all the different pieces, all the different parts, and she cast it together towards her target, which is your heart and my heart and the heart of the world. This is why this is in the Bible. Amen? This whole journey resulted in, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Praise God. Pondered them in her heart. And that's, well, with the shepherds going around telling everybody, it throws it into everybody else's hearts as well. Amen? I want you to notice that kept and pondered are joined together with an and, not a but. Okay? So there's not a matter of keeping it, but she pondered it or didn't ponder it or she didn't keep it and she did ponder it. No. They go together. Kept and pondered. Kept was to guard, preserve, keep safe. And pondered was to put it all together into one thing and send it flying. To others. We are responsible for telling everybody else about Jesus. And I think we do that with our Advent book. I think we do that with our newsletters that go forth. Okay? Praise the name of Jesus. I think we do that when we put sermons out online and people can listen to them. I mean, it goes all over the world. There's anybody who wants to can get online. And I'm not saying a lot of people do that. And I'm not saying that, you know, everyone is listened by, you know, 100 people or anything like that. But it's there. And it's people's responsibility to be seeking the truth. Amen? Whether it comes forth out of this church or another church or whatever, it really doesn't matter. Jesus says, listen, if you're not working against me, you're working for me. Amen? Amen? Praise God. Because they said, wait a minute, that guy, he doesn't do this and he doesn't do that. But is he working for me? Is he giving the truth? Praise the name of Jesus. These two words, kept and pondered, are not put together with a but to exclude each other or to exclude one over the other. No, it's an and. That means they go together. True story. Bob McAllister. He met Rusty Wellborn on death row. He met Rusty Wellborn on death row. Bob was the assistant to the governor of South Carolina, and Rusty was an inmate. Bob was a Christian man who routinely visited death row. Like I said, he was the assistant to the governor, so there's, you know, he's dealing with the people that are scheduled. Well, not fully scheduled yet, but scheduled to be punished with death. Okay? He routinely visited death row to talk to the prisoners, and Rusty, quite frankly, was one of the worst. He had been physically and emotionally abused throughout his life. He had never known a loving home. Now, that doesn't mean he gets out of, you know, the punishment, because it was serious stuff that he did, and there's a punishment for that, okay? But that doesn't mean, but that can also mean that once he is gone from this life, he's with Jesus immediately. Amen? Remember Carla Faye? She had committed a dastardly deed. Finally, it came down to time for her execution, and everybody was in an uproar. Oh, you can't execute her. She's a Christian now. No. Still had to pay the price. Had been on death row. This guy had been on death row for 10 years. Very brutal crime. The crime itself had involved 4 murders, so he was bad news. First few times Bob visited, Rusty never even spoke to him. He laid curled up on the floor, broken, filthy, unresponsive. Gradually, Bob got him to talk, and eventually to read the Bible with him. Weeks and months passed, but finally God broke through, and Rusty Wellborn received Jesus Christ. Quite frankly, he was well born again. You like that, Ben? I thought that was pretty good. He was well born again. Because God changed his heart. And God changed his life. Amen? And then when all appeals for Rusty's life were exhausted, everybody trying to get him off the hook, okay, an execution day was set. And Bob visited the night before, and Rusty asked him to read from the Bible until he, Rusty, fell asleep. Not Bob. Bob wasn't going to fall asleep reading the Bible. It's Rusty who wanted the Bible read to him until he fell asleep. When Rusty's breathing was even, and his eyes were closed, and he was clearly asleep, Bob closed the Bible, crept over to Rusty's bunk, pulled up the blanket, and gently kissed him on the cheek. The next day, Rusty was led to his death. But before they got to where it was going to happen, Rusty turned to the guard who was escorting him and said, "It's sad, isn't it, that a man has to wait until his last night on earth to be kissed and tucked in." You see, when we let Jesus Christ come into our hearts and take control, it's not just saying, "Well, I let Jesus into my heart," and then live like the devil after that. You know, it's a matter of a change. It is as if we are kissed and tucked in each night by the Holy Spirit. He watches over us. He makes our sleep sweet. But we are also to kiss and tuck in one another, as Bob did for Rusty, to show the love, to show the compassion of Christ at every opportunity. That didn't wipe away everything that was due him, all right? But it gave him something else to look forward to. Amen? Praise God. To show the love and the compassion of Christ at every opportunity. Rusty was right. No one should have to wait until his last night on earth to be kissed and tucked in. Jesus, that night, that first Christmas night, was kissed and tucked in by his own mother, Mary. Jesus was. And I would imagine also Joseph. And so were you. When we are well born again. And every night since then, same thing. Tucked in and kissed as a sign of God's love. Remember, he doesn't hate half the world. The Bible says that he gave his son whosoever. That means everybody has the opportunity to let him be Lord of their lives. Amen? So every night since and all the way into eternity, there's a tucking in and there's a kissing. And nobody had to get out the mistletoe. And not only that, but it would be the talk of the town. I have a feeling this was probably written up in the newspaper. Okay? I think it was probably the talk of the town. I mean, literally. That's how we come to know it. It's an illustration for it. It's a story. So it must have been written down at one point. And I have a feeling there was probably something in the local paper about what happened that night to Rusty Wellborn. I think. Amen? Praise the name of Jesus. Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for the Christmas kiss. I want to thank you, Lord, that it becomes the talk of the town when people truly let it have its way in our hearts and in our lives. I pray, dear God, that you would truly grab a hold of every one of our hearts this day and show us your love, your mercy, and your grace. Rejoice. That's what the Bible calls for. Rejoice. What did Paul say? Rejoice. And again I say, rejoice. Because we have a loving and a caring and a good God who will not give up as he calls people out of their sin, out of their rebellion, out of their places of thinking they know better than everybody else and come into knowing Jesus. Praise the Lord. I want to thank you, I want to praise you, I want to give you glory, dear God, in Jesus' name. Amen. The shepherds went on to say, we have seen many newborn babies in our time and newborn lambs without count. And every entrance into this world is a marvel and a wonder. But this was different. It was as if within this cave, the heavens opened in a greater way than the night sky that had just held the heavenly host and had shone with God's glory. Here is his stable of heavens. They were truly open that night. And something in our hearts opened as well. Now we began to sing and to praise God, and now we are joining with that heavenly choir. This newborn baby lying in a manger, just as the angel had told us, unlocked the gates of our hearts and opened the doors of our mouths. The angel made us seekers, but the child made us messengers. After seeing him, we couldn't help but praise and glorify our God. We couldn't help but tell anyone who would listen of all that we have seen and we have heard. We had thought that we had been excluded from the feast, but God opened heaven and he found us where we were, on that hillside outside Bethlehem, and used angels to invite us into town. And though there was little ordinary food that night, our hearts have been feasting ever since on the great banquet spread before us in the coming of our Savior. He has made us his messengers to all, even to those who feel stuck out on a hillside somewhere, stranded in the night shift, who feel their place in this life somehow excludes them from coming to the feast. When our Lord Jesus came to us all that cold, wondrous, and starry night, so long ago, he spread a table that would fill us with the life of God. This is my body. This is my blood. He prepared a feast to which all may come. Come, all things are now ready. Praise God. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, go in God's peace. Just love him, because you know what he did first, don't you? He loved you. He loved you. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen.